Let me just share this before I share a message that I think is very crucial for us in our walk with the Lord. I want to make sure everyone knows that this weekend is Sanctity of Life Weekend. I don't know if any of you know that, but way back in 1984, President Reagan declared these weekends in January, this particular one as it fell, as a Sanctity of Human Life Weakness. So we, as a congregation, affirm with thousands of other congregations that are affirming this, that every child from conception on is in the image bearer of God and stamped with divine dignity and worthy of protection. Can someone say amen to that? They're worthy of protection so they can give their whole lives to the Lord. See, adults getting saved, they got half a life left. Babies being watched over and protected, even in the womb, have a whole life to give over to God's purposes and so on and so forth. Sadly, many pastors have chosen not to talk about this for various reasons. They may remain silent on the area of the sanctity of life. But to me, I don't see that as an option at all. We're compelled and constrained to communicate God's heart with conviction and compassion regarding this subject. Proverbs 14:25 says, a truthful witness saves lives, but one who breathes out lies is deceitful. So I submit that abortion is and should be a protection. And it's debated politically, and I understand that. It's discussed emotionally amongst a lot of people, and it's described as a medical thing. But let me just say this, it should be under protection of God because it really is a moral and spiritual thing. So that's what we want to do. Let me just give you a few scriptures that really validate the sanctity of life. Psalm 139:13 says, you form my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Here's a picture. It isn't just some glob coming together. It's God knitting people together, knitting them together like a potter is forming the clay. He formed us by his very hand. Psalm 22:10, you have been my God from my mother's womb. You know, we're living souls even before we're born in God's eyes. And one more, and I'm going to just say, in Jeremiah 1:4-5, it says, before you were born, I set you apart. Again, God had plans for us before we were ever born. So these passages really help us understand the truth that we are unique creatures and creations of God, that life begins before birth, that the unborn children are individuals, they're separate from their mothers. It's not like my body, my choice. No, this is a separate body in there that God is knitting together and that God has a plan and purpose for their lives. Can someone say amen to that? That's our stance as a church, and I'm not ashamed of our stance whatsoever. We're not politically correct. We are biblically correct, and we stand on that. So we pray for the unborn children that they would survive. Amen? So today I want to share a message. I believe it's important because it has to do with living by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we are to live by faith and not by sight. So the question is, if that's how we as believers are meant to live, are we living by faith? Are you living by faith? And I think once we get into this message, it's going to help us find out if that's really how we're living our lives, if that's the way God wants us to live them. So Father, I thank you just for our moments together now, and that you would just give us ears to hear. Again, we know you're present with us, but give us ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning, what you want to impart to us, what you want to challenge us with as we get into your word this morning. And I pray that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29 says this, a very incredible scripture. It says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Whatever you're expecting God to do in your life, you know, this is the law that God has established. It's called the law of expectation. The fact is, we tend to get what we expect out of life. That's just the way it is. We tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to hear what we expect to hear. We tend to feel the way we expect to feel. We inevitably accomplish what we expect to accomplish in life. That's the law of faith. God says you get to choose. And because of that, according to your faith, according to what you expect and what you believe, it will be done unto you. Another important verse on faith is in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I mean, how many parents are here today that have kids? How many of you are pleased when your children trust you? God is the same way. God is our Heavenly Father, and He's pleased when we trust Him. That's why the Bible says without faith, we can't please Him. Without trusting Him, we don't please Him. Do you realize you can obey God? You can do the right thing and still not be pleasing to God if you're not doing it in faith. So we need to learn how to live expectingly, how to live in faith and by faith. This is a very important part of a believer's life. In fact, Romans 14:23 tells us this, whatever is not in faith is sin. Some of us might be living in sin and we don't even realize it. If we're not living in faith. Now, because that is true, I want to share how to make sure that we are living in faith and how to grow in our faith this morning. See, in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostle says to Yeshua, Lord, increase our faith. So how do you do that? How do we increase our faith? I know I'd like to have more faith. The question is how? How do we do that? I know you'd probably like to have more faith too. Especially if that's what I know that pleases God, then I want to have more of it. So the question is how? How do we get more of it? Is faith what makes my life rewarding and fulfilling and confident? How does God build my faith? Let me ask you this, anyone go to natural foods or one of those places that you could get vitamins to increase your faith? Can anyone get those? Because I'd like some of those myself. Maybe there's some kind of therapy we could go to that can increase our faith, that will help us build our faith. What is it gonna be? Now I'm gonna explain to you what it is, and it's not going to be a popular thing. I'm going to give you the secret that God has given us. And it's not something we get excited about when you first hear it. But the truth is, God builds your faith and my faith by testing it. He builds our faith by putting it to the test, by trying it. You see, faith is like a muscle and you got to exercise it. It goes against and it develops. When you test your muscles against weight, your muscles develop. And your faith develops as it is tested. You don't develop faith by sitting on your blessed assurance in church. That's not how faith is developed. The testing In James chapter 1, verse 3 says, the testing of your faith produces perseverance so that you may be mature and complete. See, the purpose of these tests of our faith is so our perseverance will grow and will be mature and complete in the Lord. That's the purpose of it. Job says the same thing, speaking from experience in Job chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. He says, what is mankind that you make so much of him and that you give him so much attention and that you examine him every morning and test him every moment? Do you realize that God is testing us every moment of our lives? These are the facts of life. These are his words. They're not mine. Every moment of the day, your faith is being tested. In fact, this past week, I guarantee it was tested. Next week, it's going to be tested again. Every day, you have faith building opportunities in your life. Problem was, most of us don't even recognize them. We flunk the test because we don't even realize it's a test and that God is trying to help us grow. So if God wants me to live by faith, and if God builds my faith by testing it, then the natural question is, how does he do that? What does that look like? And I want to give you four ways today. I mean, sure, there are many ways, but I want to give you four ways that are very clear as to how God tests our faith, that we will now be more aware of them. Yeah, I just want to cover the most common ones. And you'll probably get tested in one of these today, later on, tomorrow, and so on and so forth. You can count on it. In fact, you probably experienced it one of these today. Who knows? So let's look at them, and I want to go through them quickly, these four ways that God tests our faith in order to build our faith, in order to increase our faith. The first way is God tests our faith through going through tough times, trials, problems, pressures, tough circumstances, all the stresses of life. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says, for a little while you had to suffer in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Yeshua is revealed. That's a very powerful verse for us. The trials, the problems, the difficulties, and I hear them all the time. People are going through so much stuff. But all these that come into your life, they come to test your faith and prove your faith. Now, nothing ever happens by accident in the life of followers of Yeshua. Everything is actually filtered through our Father in heaven. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that God plans bad things for us and it happens. Bad things happen. Guess what? He doesn't have to. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. A lot of problems we bring on ourselves and things like that. A lot of problems other people bring on to our lives as well. And we become like victims. What I'm saying, though, nothing that comes into your life, if you're a child of God, nothing comes in without God being aware of it and allowing it to happen. It couldn't happen without God's permission. There are no accidents for believers. And yeah, I know there are accidents in life. Of course there are. But God uses them as he uses our disappointments are really his appointments for what he wants to do in our lives. Sometimes God customizes a problem in our life to teach us how to grow in faith, to test us, and so on. Jonah, he had a custom-made problem. He just got swallowed up by a whale. And guess what? That got his attention. See, sometimes God allows or creates things in us, around us, problems that swallow us up. And you say, well, there's nothing else to look at. The only thing I could do is turn to God now because I can't do anything myself. And I'm sure that's the way Jonah felt. In Jonah 2:7, the Bible says, when I lost all, I once again turned my thoughts to God. When he tried everything else, the only thing left was to turn his thoughts to God. See, God uses these things to test our faith. And notice that in the scripture, it says all kinds of trials. He uses all kinds of things. If life was easy, we wouldn't need faith. It wouldn't require trust in any way. If you think about it, if you could feel God all the time, then you'd just go by your feelings. Wouldn't have to go by faith. But sometimes God removes those, and he removes his feelings, his presence, just so we could learn to trust him in those difficult times. Here's a great verse when you're going through tough times. Isaiah 48:10. He says, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. What's the furnace of affliction? We've all been there. It's when the heat's on in our lives. It's a real test. And we have to say, how am I doing in the furnace of affliction when I go through some really tough times? Some of you might be feeling the heat right now. Maybe last week you felt it. Maybe you're under some pressure. It's getting a little hot under the collar. Things are going on and you're having to deal with them and so on and so forth. It's interesting how the Bible compares our problems or our issues, our difficulties to a furnace. You know, the furnace of the refiner's fire that wants to refine us. He heats it up so high that it's like gold and silver melt and all the impurities are burned away when that fire gets really strong. Now, I heard about this old silversmith who used to do that. He was asked, how do you know when the impurities are burned away in the silver? He said, when I can see my reflection in the silver. When God can see his reflection in our lives, then he knows that the impurities have been burned away out of our lives. That's a test. That's a test. So what should I do when I'm going through difficulties? How do I respond to that? And so on. The Bible tells us when the problems come, that God is testing us to test our faith. James 1, 2, and 3 tells us, consider it pure joy. Whatever you face, trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So he says, when you got a problem, when you go through it, relax. Take a deep breath. Take it easy. Thank God. Praise God. Because I know that God is with me. God is going to get me through. God has a plan for me. He has a purpose for my life. And he's helped me and he will help you get through it. See, God's purpose is greater than the pain or the problem we're going through or the difficulty we're going through right now even. So this is the first lesson. If I want to live by faith, I must learn to rejoice considerably. Continually. James says, consider it all joy when you go through problems. He doesn't say be thankful for the problems. He doesn't expect us to be thankful if someone's going through a major medical issue and so on and say, thank you, God, for making me sick. I just thank you so much. No, he's not saying that. Of course not. He says, be thankful in the midst of it because he's got your back. Rejoice in every situation. That's how we're going to learn to live by faith. We're not rejoicing for the situation. We're rejoicing in it. Now think about that. Evaluate yourself, and I have to do the same. If you were thinking from 1 to 10, how quickly do you praise God when things go wrong? If you say never or very, very rarely, give yourself a 1 or a 2. If you say, sometimes I thank God, I praise God, I know he's in the with me and so on, give yourself a 5. If you say, I always do it, no matter what's going on, I continue to rejoice when I'm dealing with difficulties in life because I know God is with me and he will get me through. If that's you, give yourself a 10. In Philippians 4:4, the Bible says, rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always, all the time. And again, I say rejoice, because God uses difficulties and he tests our faith and he builds it, not in the easy times of life, but in the difficult times of life. That's the first one. Second one, God tests our faith through his commands, through his demands of our lives. Sometimes he asks us things that seem impossible to do. I mean, if you look even in the New Testament, there are 1,050 commands for believers to obey. And some of them seem unreasonable to us. Some of them seem inconvenient. Some of them seem downright impossible to do. So what do you do when you have an impossible command that feels like a demand of you? You realize this is a test of your faith. When you have a command and it seems like I can't do that, the issue at the moment is, who am I going to believe in that situation? Who am I going to trust? Am I going to believe what God asked me to do? Am I going to believe what I think the right thing to do is? Who do you believe in that? All of the promises, all of the commands are there as a test. Some may seem simple at first, but when you look at them, they're pretty demanding. A command in the Bible like, don't worry about anything. He says that to us. Anybody struggle with worry with that one? That can be a tough one. Or do good to your enemies. Do good to who spitefully use you. That's another tough one. Or forgive other people or be thankful and everything. These commands that he gives us, the demands are to test our faith. Are we going to really trust him in that? Every time God gives us a command in the Bible, it is the man that places our life. He puts it on our life, and it's a test if we're really going to believe and trust in him. Just take, for instance, confess your faults to one another, he says. That's a test. Am I going to trust what God says to do? What he says is the right thing to do? Or am I going to trust my own opinion and what I think is right in my own eyes? Am I going to lean on my own understanding? Or am I going to trust him? See, there are literally hundreds of examples in the Bible how God prepares his people, and he says, do this, do that. And there were people that trusted him. They had faith. Even though it didn't make sense to them, even though it seemed so ridiculous sometimes or impossible for them to do. For example, the people of Israel on their way to Egypt, where they were held in captivity, they were going to the promised land. God put a demand on their life. It was called manna. I'm going to give you manna from heaven. I'm going to provide these fluffy little cakes for you. But go out each morning and only gather one day's worth, just enough for the day. In fact, Exodus 16:4 says the people there are to go out each day and gather enough manna for that day. In that way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. See, there are all reasons why that command didn't make sense. Just enough for the day. Why can't I gather enough for a week? Why can't I gather enough for a day, another day, and so on? It's not convenient for me to go out each day and gather enough food for that day. It's a better use of my time to gather maybe for a week and so on and so forth. What if I get sick tomorrow? I won't be able to gather any food. And all these questions. And what if I trip and hit my head on a rock or a snake bites me and I can't eat? See, there's all kinds of reasons we can doubt what God has asked us to do. But that wasn't the point. The point wasn't, does it make sense to you? The point is, I'm going to test you to see if you will trust me on a day-to-day basis and follow my commands. I want you to grow in your faith. That was the point. God wants us to grow in our faith because that's the only thing that pleases him. Often God asks us to do the impossible. He wants us to grow in our faith. guy named Abraham, you know the story, we deal with it, 75 years old, he's about to hang it up. God says, take it off, don't hang it up. I want to take you somewhere to make a difference and change the world. I want you to go somewhere you've never been. You don't even know where you're going to go. Abraham says, well, where exactly am I going? God says, I'll tell you. How am I going to go and get there? I'll show you. How will I know when I get there? When you get there, I'll tell you, you're there. How would you like to have to obey that command? We might say, God, could I at least Google where I'm going first? Can I check it out, MapQuest it, put in my GPS? When I know where I'm going, I'm there. I'm ready to go for you. But that's not faith. Faith is trusting him. And it's often a risk. It's a risk. When it's a risk, it means you can't understand it all in advance. Why would God do that? He's not just interested in making us comfortable or helping us to see all the directions and points on the map. He's wanting to test us and grow our faith. The Bible says again in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed and he went, even though he didn't know where he was going and so on. What about a guy named Noah? We all have heard that name before. God came to him and said, Noah, I've got a demand I want to make. I want you to build an ark. Remember, Noah, he lived in the middle of the desert. It had never rained. The only water they had was mist coming up. He tells Noah, there's going to be a flood. There was never, up to that point, ever even any rain. It just came up as a mist. God says, no, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain. Would you build an ark in the middle of the desert when it never rained? When you never seen rain? You don't even know what rain is? And there was going to be a flood just because God said so? And the Bible says, by faith, Noah built the ark. God tests our faith in order to grow our faith. He does it through difficulties. He does it through demands. These demands that he makes in our lives, we need to do it just because we trust him, not because we understand it. So what's the lesson in this one? If I want to learn to live by faith, I must learn to not only rejoice continually no matter what I'm going through, but obey God immediately. When he tells us to do something, do it. When God says do it, do it, whether you understand it or not, whether it makes sense to you or not. Because I know it's what God's asked me to do. That's the test of my faith. When God says it in the Bible to do it, then we do it. Now, I know there's prophetic voices out there that say certain things and direction, but the one thing that we could trust is his word. When you see it in his word, you can trust it and obey it. And when God says to do it in his word, it's as clear as day. He wants you to do it, so you need to act on it and obey it. And the question is, how are we doing on that one? Think about it. How we would evaluate ourselves. How quickly do we do what God tells us to do? And that's a question. Do you just do what he tells you to do when it's convenient? When you think about it or you put it off or whatever, give yourself a one. Do you struggle with it for a while and maybe after a while you do it? You can give yourself a five. Or if you know what he wants you to do and you immediately act on it and you do it instantly, unquestionably, give yourself a 10. See, these are things that just help us understand and how to grow in this stuff. The third thing I want to mention is God tests us with our resources. And I'm talking about our money. Do you know that money is one of the greatest tests of our faith in this life? Few people understand how God uses material possessions as a test of our character and a test of our faith. Many people, finances are the greatest test of all. They have no idea that God is actually testing them when they get into these great debts, when they're going through financial issues, and they're asked to give to the Lord. These are real tests of faith. But Jesus said in Luke 16:11, he says, if you haven't been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, that's like dollars, who's going to trust you with godly wealth, with true riches? What is he talking about here? He's given the truth that taught all through Scripture, in that there is a definite direct relationship with how we handle our money and our spiritual depth in our lives as well. There's a direct connection to that. So Yeshua says, if I'm not faithful in how I handle my material wealth, I'm not going to be given any spiritual wealth. How could I handle the spiritual wealth if I can't handle the material wealth? If I'm not faithful with my possessions, he will not trust me with spiritual power. See, money is a test. We could check how we spend our money to find out how we're doing in that test. The fact is, what we're doing with it determines how much God can bless our lives. It has a real impact on us and what he asks us to do. It's taught all through Scripture. And I've learned after all these years walking through it how faithful we need to be when it comes to this. You know, when we're giving our tithes, but I can't afford it, and so on and so forth. And I could be using it to pay off this or do that, and so on and so forth. It's a test of our faith. It really is. Are we willing and ready to generously give to the Lord, knowing that it could be spent on other things? It's a test for us. Just like God uses difficulties and delays and demands, it's a test. See, all the way back to the New Testament, when you look at 2 Corinthians verse 8, end of verse 7 and 8, says, excel in the grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. You know, he's testing us in the sincerity of our love when we're being generous in our giving. That could have been sincerity of faith too. Giving tests our love and our faith for God. I want to test you by comparing it to others who earnestly give. He does. He makes a comparison. If you don't know that, Paul compared the Corinthians with the giving of the Macedonian Christian believers. Then he challenged them and he said, I want you to look and see what these Macedonians are doing and how they're giving. Look at their sacrifice. Look at what they're giving to help the poor. Look at what they're giving to serve the Lord. These verses that are giving are not only testing my faith, it tests the sincerity of my love for God. How much do I really love God? We need to put our money where our mouth is. He challenges us and he compares us, our sacrifice of others. And if you have a problem with that, that's what the Bible says. Deal with the Bible about comparing what others do. In fact, the only people that ever get upset about talking about verses of money are those that don't give, those that don't want to give. Givers don't get upset about this. See, you can't ignore these verses. Fact is, every time I give to God, my faith grows. Every time I break the grip I have on what's mine in my life, I grow in love for him and hope and trust, and I grow in maturity. It helps to build my life. It ain't about us or what we give to us. That's not it. 1 Chronicles 29, the Bible tells us how David and the people of Israel raised the money to build the temple. In one single offering, they raised what's equivalent to today's dollars, $400 million in today's terms. The most successful building program ever. When people say God doesn't need a building, they haven't read 1 Chronicles 29. God told them to raise the money and they gave sacrificially. It's a test. And what I love about the whole story in verse 14 here, in 1 Chronicles 29, David says this after they've all given as a test of their faith. He says, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, God, and we have given you what comes from your hand. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple, for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you.
See, that's what we need to understand. This is all God's. He provides everything for us. It's his. We're just stewards of it. And it's a test of our faith, to build our faith and our love for him, if we're going to be good stewards of what he tells us to do.
It's all God's in the first place. I know, it's my God. It's a test of my heart. All these things I will give willingly with honest intent, not because I have to or whatever. I see if you give with joy. David says in this passage that giving is not only tests my faith, it tests my love for God, it tests my heart, it tests the integrity of my heart. God wants to be the Lord over us in every area, in our difficulties, in the demands he makes of our lives, in giving to him as well. And this is another area if we want to grow in our faith. We rejoice continually, we obey him immediately, and we give to him generously. That's a third way he tests our faith. So evaluate yourself when it comes to that. Get honest with yourself. If you looked at the giving that you give, would you say that God, you really trust God? Or have you been afraid to let go and you not have enough and so on and so forth? And the last thing I want to mention about this as we get into the last one, it's interesting that God not only uses dollars to test our faith, he uses dollars to test him. In Malachi chapter 3, God says, test me. Bring all your tithes to the storehouse. That's a place of worship where you worship. And test me in this. See if I will not provide for you and throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out of such a blessing that you won't be able to handle. In other words, let's play a little game. You give to me and I give to you and we'll see who wins. We'll see who can outgive each other. I doubt any of us can outgive God. So giving not only tests us, it tests God too. I dare you to test God. I dare you to put him to the test to see if he will keep his promises. So we learn and grow through our difficulties, through obeying his commands and demands, even that don't make sense to us. And we learn to grow in faith in other ways. But this area, when it comes to finances, really hits a sensitive nerve to so many people. And the last thing I want to mention, that God tests us through delays, tests us through our patience. If every prayer was immediately answered, if every one of your needs were automatically met, if every problem you have was instantly solved, you wouldn't need any faith. Think about that. Your faith wouldn't need to be stretched in any way. We make a prayer, God, the genie comes and takes care of it. But that's not the way. We have to wait on things. And it's human nature to hate to wait. I hate to wait. Do you? How about if you're driving up to a red light? There are two cars there. You're trying to see which one is going to leave first and so on. Or you're going in a supermarket and you're trying to determine which line is going to be the least. And you don't, because you want to wait as least as possible. Which one is going to be faster? And I always wind up getting behind the slowest one anyway. It doesn't matter. Do you do that? Does anyone here do that? Does anyone here hate to wait? We hate waiting in lines. We hate waiting in traffic. We hate waiting in the doctor's office. But a large percentage of our life is waiting, spent waiting. If you and I can't learn how God wants us to stretch our faith during those times of waiting, we're going to miss out on many of these lessons that God wants to teach us about waiting. See, God can grow us through these irritating times of waiting, no doubt about it. But the times He really grows us and grows our faith through waiting is the times that they're really life's tests. Maybe it's something you never wanted to wait for. Example, if the children of Israel, again, they're on their way to Egypt, the promised land, they could have made it, they could have traveled the distance probably in 2 or 3 weeks, but it ended up, it took them 40 years. Why all the wasted time, God? Because the Bible says God led them in their journey to Egypt, to the promised land. So why did He do it that way? Because God was more interested in developing their faith than in getting there from point A to point B in the quickest way. Took 40 years building their faith. Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:2, God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to test you in order to know what was in your heart. That's what happens in times of waiting on the Lord. We get to see God, and He gets to see what's really in our hearts. Are we really trusting Him? You find yourself in situations, I'm sure we all have, where you feel like you're in a hurry. And then we get a definite idea. I don't know about you, but I get a definite idea. God is not in any hurry. Anyone else feel that way? It happens all the time. Why does it happen? Because God is more interested in growing our faith than anything else. So we start thinking when questions while we're waiting. When is my marriage going to get better? We're trying to do. When is things going to turn around? And if you're single, when am I going to find the right person and get married one day? When is that going to happen? How long is it going to take until I get well from this sickness? Or I want to have a baby. Or when am I going to get the right job? And I'd say that so much time that God is wanting us to wait on Him. This area of waiting that God has worked to develop our faith more than any other area. He tests it again and again as we wait on Him in order to develop our faith and trust in Him. Some are waiting for something right now to happen. Maybe you've been waiting a long time. And while you're waiting, understand God is there. He knows. He doesn't leave you alone. Just maybe a test. God does, and He uses difficulties and demands and dollars, and He also uses patience and delays to build our faith. Listen to this, almost done here. Isaiah 64:4 says, God acts on behalf of those who wait for Him. It pays to be patient, because God will act on your behalf. Just remember this, while you're waiting, God is working. You're not waiting alone. You're not. Waiting in faith, God is working. He's doing things behind the scene, in your heart, in other people's heart, things you can't even see as to why He is working the way He does. So what's the lesson of this? What's the faith lesson? See, if I want to live by faith, I need to learn to rejoice, to obey immediately, to give generously, and to wait patiently upon the Lord as He builds faith in us in these areas. If we're really going to grow in faith, especially patiently, He's not going to snap His fingers and just instantly answer every prayer we have, because He wants to build a faith. He's not the genie in the bottle. And the question is, how are we doing on this one? You know, are you giving yourself and waiting? If after a few minutes and God doesn't answer your prayer, maybe a few days, a few weeks, who knows? Do you give yourself, give up? Where you don't wait at all, I give up. If that's you, your faith needs to grow. It needs to grow. If you're one of those people, you wait on God and grumble and complain the whole time, you can get a 2 on that one. That's all you get for grumbling and complaining. Your faith is not there. But if you're learning to keep on believing and keep on trusting that God's got his hand on this, you're going to give yourself and expect and wait on God that he will bring things to pass according to his will and give yourself a 10. You know, before I end here, I ask our worship team to come on up here. The question is, do you really want to increase your faith? If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody? Some of you that are not raising your hand, God will challenge you in that faith. Because even the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. All of us. That's got to be the cry of our heart, increase our faith. But are we willing to make that prayer really from our hearts? God, increase my faith. If you are, then we need to get practical about what he will do in order to do that. As we look in these four areas that we need to pray for God increasing our faith. You know, some of us here probably need to pray to God, increase my faith through difficulties, through the struggles I go through in life. Lord, increase my faith. Maybe there's an area that God is working in right now in your life. Some of you are going through some tough times right now. You're not alone. If you're going through that kind of time, you need to pray, God, help me to learn to rejoice in the midst of this and know that you are in control. Either he's Lord over everything, he's Lord over nothing. You need to pray, I'm not alone. I know you have a purpose in this. You're growing me. You're testing me. You want me to have the strength to get through this life. So I'm going to rejoice continually. Not that this is happening, but knowing that in the midst of it happening, you're with me and you're going to work this out. Maybe God's testing you right now through what he's asking you to do. Let me put it another way. Maybe he put this as a question. What is it in your life that you know that God told you to do, that he wants you to do, that you haven't done yet? Think about that. That's the place to put faith in. Maybe it's to get in shape. Maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to start reading more. Maybe it's to pray more. Maybe it's to give more. I don't know, whatever it is. But if it's in your heart right now, what is it that God has told you but you haven't done yet? You need to pray, Lord, help me to obey you. Give me what I need, the strength to obey you, not tomorrow, not next week, today. Give me the faith I need today. Maybe God's testing your faith through giving. I can hardly make ends meet. What the Bible teaches me about tithing, give 10% of my income, and you think, but God, don't you know what I make? And God says, yeah, I know what you make. I know what everyone in the world makes. That's not the point. That's not the issue here. The issue is your faith. I want to test your faith. Why is it that God touches that sensitive area, that financial area, that nerve in so many of us? Why does he do that? Because he wants to see how we're going to react to that. When he touches it, do we get mad? Do we run away? Do we shut down or whatever? Do we get angry? Do we get afraid? God's going to take something from me that he already gave to you? Or do we trust him generously? God, it all came from you in the first place. That's a test some of us are facing now. We've all faced that one. Maybe you're facing a test where things are delayed. We've been expecting God to do something and he hasn't done it yet. You're thinking, God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to move on this? How long is it going to take? Why hasn't it happened yet? God, why haven't you answered my prayer? That's a test of our faith. He encourages us again and again in the Bible. Don't give up. Don't give up. Look up to God and realize he is with you. And you can wait on him. And as we do that, it increases our faith and he works out his plan. So Lord, help me wait patiently for you. I want to take these just to end here today. If you would just stand with me. If you're those that say you want to live by faith and you're asking God to increase your faith, I want to encourage you to pray that very dangerous prayer. Lord, increase my faith. If you're willing to do that, at the count of three, let's just pray that together. And I'm going to do it too with you, and hopefully these guys will. When I count to three, one, two, three, Lord, increase my faith. Understand why it's dangerous is because God increases our faith by testing our faith. And all these ways we've talked about this morning, all of them, God wants us to challenge us. Are we willing to rejoice in him continually, no matter what difficulties, in knowing he's got this and he's got our back? It will increase your faith. And knowing to act, if he says do this in his word, that we are going to act and do that as well, and be generous and keep a loose grip on our resources, because it's all his to begin with. He's just testing our faith, because we're stewards, we're not owners of this stuff. Every good thing comes from him. And if you're waiting on things, that he will give you the ability to wait on him and to trust him and to be patient, and that he will bring it to pass. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're challenging all of us. Some of us, maybe one area of this, or maybe two areas, or maybe all areas. But Lord, we just pray, even now, that you would increase our faith in whatever it takes. Lord, you've shown us four ways you do it. We want to be people that please you. Lord, you say if we don't live by faith, whatever we don't do by faith is sin. And Lord, forgive us where we fall short of that. Forgive us where we grumble and complain and hold on tight to our own things and don't allow you to have your way in our lives. Forgive us for that. The Bible says God is pleased whenever we trust him. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, we please the heart of God. So increase that faith, and whatever it's going to take, Lord, whatever it's going to take. We thank you, Lord, for your unconditional love. We thank you that we don't have to earn your love, that just in faith we can receive your love. I pray we would trust you, Lord, in all these tests in our lives, to make us more like you. Lord, we pray that we want to become more like you and trust you more and be people that honor and please you. And we pray these things in Yeshua's name. Let's worship him. And-